Welcome to our first episode of It's Okay to Feel. I'm your new host, Craig, with your new co-host, Steve, here. This is our first time recording this after being given the reins from your old hosts, but hopefully we do you guys proud. Today we're just going to go through a quick overview of who we are and what we've kind of come through and how we got affiliated with NAMI and what we're doing at NAMI now, so you can get a better idea of who your new hosts are and get you guys up to speed. So I'm gonna pass it over to Steve, and if you could just explain to me how you started with NAMI first.
Yeah, my first introduction to NAMI was about 15 years ago. I was trying to get help from my brother in the sense of a 5150. He'd been 5150 many times. But this particular time, we weren't having much luck getting it done, and finally did. And as soon as we'd gotten him 5150'd, I went back to work doing the things that I normally do. And several weeks later, got a call from a woman about a class I'd signed up to take. And I thought, the last thing I need is a class. But then she sounded pleasant enough, and I thought, well, you know, what's a couple of hours out of the year? And I realized she was telling me that the class lasted for 12 weeks, and it was 2.5 hours at a time. And I thought, the last thing I need on earth is 12 weeks worth of classes. So I said to her, I said, Sue, you sound like a nice lady, but I'm not a big believer in this kind of thing. So I'll come one night, but you might not ever see me again. And that was my introduction to NAMI.
Nice. And then what class was this?
This was family to family.
How many family to families have you done since then?
Well, I took the class the first night, and when the first night was over, I came home, and my granddaughter, who lived with us, was having some struggles. And I said, Melissa, I said, you just have to take this class with me. And she said, Papa, she said, I don't think I can, because I've got bipolar disorder. And I said, well, let's call NAMI Orange County and ask. And so we called NAMI Orange County, and I asked if we could get Melissa into the class, and she said, the lady that I was talking to said, well, if she has a diagnosable mental, if she has a family member with a diagnosable mental illness, she's welcome to take the class. And I said, yeah, but Donna, she has bipolar disorder. And Donna said, let me explain it to you again. If Melissa has a family member with a diagnosable mental illness, she is welcome to take the class. And so with that, Melissa took the class with me. And when the first class was up, meaning the first 12 weeks were completed, we felt like we'd already forgotten more than we'd remembered. And so we asked to take the class again, like right away. And the lady that I was talking to at NAMI Orange County said, well, that's not normally the way it's done. You know, we offer the class once and then you kind of move on. And I told her, I said, but Donna, Melissa and I are both very slow learners. You have to be able to make an exception. So finally, Donna said, okay, you can take the class again. And so we did. And immediately upon finishing the class, we took the class to teach us how to teach the class. And we've been doing that ever since.
So how many classes do you think you've taught?
I've taught family to family now, I believe, 37 times.
And then how many people are in each class?
We probably average about 18 to 20 a class.
And is it different people every time, or is it the same people?
Well, one class, it's the same people every time, sure.
Right, but I mean, can they take family to family multiple times?
Most people do not. Most people get it more quickly than Melissa and I did.
So what, you've probably reached, how many is that, 200 people?
700 plus.
700 people?
38 times.
Yeah, 600, yeah. That's a lot of people, huh?
Yeah. And almost everybody, whether they're evaluated right after the class or whether they're evaluated 5 years later, they all describe the class as being transformative. It changed their lives. They understand mental illness in ways that they just simply didn't before they took the class.
But you not only do the teaching, right? You are also very influential on the board, and you've been a part of NAMI National. What made you want to take a step and get even more involved in NAMI?
Well, I think after about 4 years or 5 years, I called this same lady, the lady that had gotten signed me up to take the class, the lady that had allowed Melissa to take the class, the same lady that had allowed us to get into the training to teach the class. I called her and I said, I'd like to be more involved. And she said, well, maybe you should consider being on the board. And I didn't really know what that meant, but I got a letter or a phone call saying, you know, submit your resume and we'll look it over. And so I did, and then was called in for an interview with three members of the board and the CEO at that time, executive director at that time, and went through the interview, and I think it went fine. And after the interview, a month or two passed, and I called the office, and I said, you know, it won't hurt my feelings if you don't want me on the board, but you need to let me know one way or another, because if I'm not on the board, I'm going to do something. I didn't know what that was exactly, but I'm going to do something. So just let me know so I can move on. And very quickly, they called me back and said, no, we want you on the board. Can you come to the next board meeting? Which I did, and that was in, I believe, March of 2011, and I've been on the board of NAMI Orange County ever since.
It's a long time.
Yeah. But I think we've made some real positive moves in the right direction. What a NAMI affiliate does primarily is to teach the signature programs, family to family being the most prominent among them. But there's also a peer-to-peer class, which is a class taught by people living with a mental illness to people living with mental illness. There's another class called the provider class, which is a class that's taught by five people. It's a panel of teachers. One is a clinician, two of them are family members, and two of them are people living with a mental illness. And we teach the class to anybody who works within the mental health system. So they could be a clinician, they could be an intake assistant in a psych ward, they could work for the Department of Behavioral Health. They could work for anybody in the system that provides mental health services. And we've been teaching that class, and don't hold me exactly to the date here, but we've been teaching that class since about 2012. Then we have presentations that we give and that people take training to present in our own voice, ending the silence. We have some classes that the audience is aimed at students, that is high school students and college students. There's a lot of things that NAMI is involved in, and as we've grown over the years, we're involved and seeking a broader and broader audience to reach, because mental illness is not something that just affects a few people. One out of five people in the United States and in all other countries, frankly, will have a diagnosable mental illness this year.
Sure.
So there's no shortage of people needing what we provide.
Yeah, and we'll go probably more in depth on the programs throughout the podcast series. I'm sure we'll get some people interviewed and talk to some of the teachers that teach them and get some other inputs. But if you have any questions or want more information, namioc.org is the place to go. We have all our programs there outlined, and you can register and sign up. Or if you want to call our main office number's there, and we can get you started with any of those programs. We have a lot to offer, that's for sure. I'm personally connected to the Peer Connect program, which is what I've been doing for a few months now, and it's a program where I get the opportunity to talk to individuals that are struggling, on a one-on-one basis. Right now we're doing it over the phone because of the whole COVID situation. But I talk to them for an hour a week for 12 weeks, and I get to know the person, and I get to be a support for them or just an individual that gets to talk to them, because a lot of people need that. It's amazing when I, start most of these phone calls, the main topic is, I just need somebody to talk to. I'm lonely. I don't have anybody else around me, And from there, we can really build over the next 12 weeks on, getting to know each other, giving them some support, and hopefully getting them out there to engage in their recovery and their journey. It's been an amazing program to be a part of, definitely.
And you may know, Craig, our NAMI Orange County Warm Line, which is funded by the County of Orange, this last year took more than 106,000 calls. It's open.
That's amazing.
It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And as Craig has pointed out, an awful lot of those people just need someone to talk to. And the people who answer the phone are people, by and large, living with a mental illness. And the people who call in are just looking for somebody to talk to. And so we focus on listening empathetically. We're not clinicians, so we're not giving advice on here's what you need to do.
Right.
We just need to listen and hear.
Right. It's the first thing I tell people. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a therapist. Just another person. As you can tell, Steve's more of the family side. He's always been a family support. He's also my grandpa, so he's been, I've been there on with him for the whole step of the way too. But he kind of offered the family side of the mental health, and obviously he has a lot to offer information wise from the organizational aspects of it. Whereas I can give you more of the peer side. I've been living with clinical depression and anxiety for a long time now, and my main thing was substance abuse. I had a good 10 years of pretty severe and intense drug use, and I'm about 3.5 years sober now and absolutely loving my life, but it wasn't an easy journey there. It's been taking the past 3.5 years of hard work and baby steps to get there. But well worth it, that's for sure. Well worth it.
I'm sitting here smiling because it was a hard journey, and Craig has done very, very well. But so often we think somebody has a substance abuse disorder, well, they just need to clean up their act. They just need to stop. They just need to get sober. Well, yeah, but how do you get from where you are to where you want to be? And it's not an easy journey. And I think Craig went through the whole process of detoxifying and trying to live sober 7 or 8 times. Mm-hmm. And Craig is not unusual in that. That's the way it works for most people. And I think the important thing for families and for people who love those folks is you don't give up on them simply because it didn't work the first time. Typically, it doesn't work the first time.
No, it was a process. And it's one of the biggest things I tell people nowadays is, it's not like this last time I went to treatment, I all of a sudden got it. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, I want to be sober now. It was an accumulation over the 7-8 times that I've been going that all added up and gave me information and tools and knowledge each time I went, that eventually when I was ready, I had all the, support and, understanding of what needed to be done for me, that when the time came and I was ready, I knew what to do. I knew how to do it, I knew how to find the support. I didn't do it on my own. I had a group of men that, really helped me out the first 6 months to a year that I, basically saw on a every day, if not weekly basis. And it was a lot of, baby steps. It was a lot of, oh, now I'm going to get this job that I'm very overqualified for, and I'm just going to show up to work every day. And then it was, I'm going to take a class at Saddleback and see how that goes. And, I'm going to go on a date with a girl and see how that goes, And through all that, you know, that process, trial and error, I got to, you know, figure out more and more of what I want to do and who I want to be and create a good foundation on how to work that. So,
and for those of you that have not dealt with something like this, and for those of you that have, and when your family member or the person you care about, the person you love, gets to the place Craig is, it's absolutely thrilling to behold. Nothing's better.
It's nice. And I am in a good place. Go to school full time, about to graduate from Saddleback here in a year with, you know, top grades, and hopefully get into a high-end university after this. And I'm working for NAMI, which I love doing. I'm going to help people and give back and financially stable, and I have a girlfriend that I love. And these are all things that 3.5 years ago, you know, you don't think you could ever have.
You couldn't even dream of.
And so it's nice. And part of this podcast for me is going to be giving back. You know, I want to be able to talk about my story. I want to be able to share with you guys. And, you know, let people know that it's, you know, recovery is out there. It's not like it's freely given or easy, but there's support and there's people out there that want to help, especially from NAMI. And as long as you're willing and put some hard work in, you can come back and be on the other side of it all too. We're not just talking about substance abuse, we're talking about mental health recovery. You know, it coincides. The recovery process isn't, you know, I take my meds from my doctor and I'm all better. You know, it's a full fleshing out of your, you know, of yourself and your personality, and trying to find out a version of you that's going to work, that's sustainable, that's you're happy with, you know, which takes a lot of gutting sometimes and takes a lot of rebuilding.
Yeah, it's thrilling to see. And frankly, my Craig's older sister, my granddaughter, went through the same thing, and it was thrilling for her. And one of the interesting things, I said that Melissa and I had taken the training to teach family to family together, and we finished the training and we decided that we did want to teach the class together. And when you're teaching a class, your other teacher is kind of your partner, your co-teacher, but an equal, certainly. And so Melissa is my granddaughter. And normally in that relationship, it's not really a partnering. It's a grandfather or father, daughter, granddaughter. And here she is, my partner in teaching the class. And it caused the two of us to kind of reformulate our relationship, at least for the purposes of the classes, so that we are co-equals. I was certainly was in no way superior to her in teaching the class. But it took a little while to get there. But it was very, very, very beneficial for our relationship. And I think, quite frankly, for the people who took the class from the two of us. And I want to say we taught the class together 7 or 8 times. But it was another really good learning experience for her and for me.
So now you know a little bit more about us. We're going to be taking over for the podcast. We're expecting to get out every 2 weeks, an episode to you guys. Some are going to be educational, some are going to be story related. Hopefully we get some interviews going, but you know, between the two of us, we have a lot of knowledge and experience in the mental health and mental illness, you know,
substance use,
all those categories, and we're just looking to spread some more information out there. Bear with us. This is our first time doing a podcast together, so we'll get more versed and a little better understanding of how to get the information out to you more effectively over time. But we appreciate you guys for listening in, and we're going to be looking forward to speaking to you in the next couple weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you.